Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Do you understand? Do you understand? If I can draw your attention to verse 12, that says, as a result of this event, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? There is not a one of us. I can firmly, comfortably state that there's not a one of us in this room, probably not a one of you who are watching me around the country and around the world. There's not a one of us that's not familiar with the day of Pentecost and the events of Pentecost. As a result, as a matter of fact, we're so familiar with the day of Pentecost and the event of Pentecost that Pentecost means something different to us than it ever even meant to them. To them, in their time, the Feast of Pentecost was a Hebrew thing that they did every year. But to us, the word Pentecost, even if you didn't grow up in Pentecost, in a Pentecostal expression, even if you grew up Baptist or you grew up like me, I grew up in a non-Pentecostal holiness denomination. I grew up in a denomination that didn't believe in tongues and the gifts, and they didn't believe it was for the day. I grew up in a church like that. But even if you grew up Catholic, even if you grew up Baptist, even if you grew up not in church at all, the idea of this moment, the idea of the Holy Ghost. Some folks say the Holy Spirit. Others say the Holy Ghost. The idea of the Holy Ghost. The idea of the power of the Holy Ghost. And particularly the idea of tongues. A heavenly language in which people are speaking in tongues. That idea of tongues enabled by the Spirit crossed into common culture, crossed into common media, particularly amongst African Americans. But in the world, there were folks. I remember back in the day, there was a show called In Living Color. I don't want to date myself, but I don't know if you ever saw In Living Color. But there was they had a couple of preachers on. In their spoofing of the Christian tradition, they had somebody, Damon Wayans, was on stage and said, "I'm a same on my mama makusa, and I'm back." And it crossed into modern culture. None of us have a misunderstanding or are unfamiliar with the idea of tongues. Several years ago, maybe more than several, Cat Williams, in his stand-up event, The Pimp Chronicles. It's The Pimp Chronicles. Maybe, I don't know. And in that, he kind of did a eat him a seat or something like that, in which he kind of acted like he was speaking in tongues. My point that I'm making to the room and to everybody in the room, that even if you're not filled with the evidence, even if you don't have a heavenly language, even if you didn't grow up in it, you know about it. Come on, be honest. You know about it. You know that there's a language. You know that there's some folk that pray in a heavenly language, even if you don't pray in it. And even if you don't believe in it, you're aware of it. For those of us who were raised in it, oh my goodness. I mean, they sang songs about it. The Clark sisters sang songs about it. The Holy Ghost, I need your power. In the book of Acts, verses 2 and 4, where it all begins, on one accord, a sound came down like a mighty, like that of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house with the Holy Ghost where they had been. Tongues of fire, they were all filled and they all began to speak. Boom, 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 boom. Don't act like I'm the only old person in here that remembers the Clark sisters. My point is that the Clark sisters in particular, but folk in that time, sang songs about the Holy Spirit, sang songs in particular about the language enabled by the Spirit. So much so that a tongues language began to be the primary manifestation of the Spirit. If you grew up in a church that was thinking about the Spirit, I grew up in a time where we went from kind of traditional church into charismatic church and the charismatic renewal, and everything changed. Oh, let us sing, let us rejoice. Oh, let us sing. So you went from to church. churches, black churches, ha, 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 and he put laughter into my soul. It would have been enough if he brought love. And we transition in that kind of service, if you were ever in it. At the end of the worship, you got quiet. I need somebody to talk to me that was there. You got quiet because you were waiting to see, was there going to be a tongue? Talk to me over. Was there going to be a tongue? Was there going to be an interpretation? And you got quiet. And then somebody in a room was like, and they would speak in a tongue over the whole room. Then after a time, someone would interpret that and say, yea, the Lord would say unto you, you are my children, you are. And they would give an either supposed to be an interpretation of that tongue or a word of encouragement based on that tongue. Can you shake your head at me if you're like, yeah, some of you that's way before your time, but there are many of us, the church transitioned into that kind of an expression, and to this day there are still people who expect the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be something like that. We got focused on the heavenly language, and please, before I say another word and before I get any letter from anybody, no shade meant. I'm not trying to throw shade at nobody who believes in that. I do. I have a prayer language. I pray I have that. No shade meant. Not trying to be critical. I went to Rhema. I was taught about the gifts before. You write me a letter presuming to correct me around the things of the gifts. Understand, I went to Rhema Kenneth Hagin when I was 17. I was baptized into the stuff. I got the Holy Ghost. I got it. I was raised strict holiness, non-Pentecostal, and then I went to Rhema and met Carlton Pearson and got all into the Holy Ghost and into the Kojic world. So before you presume, I'm 53. Before you presume, don't let this black don't crack fool you. Before you presume to instruct me, understand, I understand this world. When I make a comment on it, you'll have to accept it from me whether you believe it or not. I'm trusting you believe that what I'm going to state to you, which may be a little difficult, is the truth. And that is that in a sense, I feel like at times we kind of miss the whole point. We were so caught up, son, in the Holy Ghost prayer language of it, and so caught up in it being a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that I'm now praying in a heavenly language that no one understands, that we missed that a part of what happened at Pentecost is that as a result of the moving of the Spirit, people understood who never understood before. What is also a man as much as a hundred of a horse and a behika, and I'm not faking, that's my, as much as that is a manifestation that I have the Holy Ghost, you know what else is a manifestation that the Spirit is present, is that somebody hears the goodness of God in a language they can understand. My God, I would dare submit for your consideration, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that if all you have is Holy Ghost without understanding, I don't really know if you've got the Holy Ghost for real. If all you got is a heavenly language, I'm gonna leave it alone. But I met a whole lot of tongue talkers who don't really know that much about God, my Lord. I met a whole lot of tongue talkers broke as a joke. I met a whole lot of tongue talkers that have a heavenly language and won't speak to you. Oh, help us. I met a whole lot of tongue talkers who pray in a heavenly language and are still racist. They pray in a heavenly language and still sex. Pray in a heavenly language and don't like people. Pray in a heavenly language and don't talk to their mama. Pray in a heavenly language and won't talk to their baby. Pray in a heavenly language but can't talk to a heathen for 5 minutes. So Tamata, come on, Elder Clark. So Tamata. And he coming in a Honda that they go in a barbershop and can't have a normal conversation because it's all the afflictions of blah, 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 blah. And I would contend that if you really got the Holy Ghost, then you have an understanding and you'll help me have an understanding. Can I get a witness in the room? I'm so, so sorry. Colin, we missed the whole point, bruh. The whole point, Tony, is that they came out and folk from other places heard a language they could understand. Meaning somebody that didn't necessarily fit in their culture. Oh, come on. Somebody that didn't look like them. Somebody that wasn't the same color as them. Somebody didn't have the same money they had. Somebody that didn't have the same status as them still felt God. I would contend, sorry, that if only one class of people, if only one color of people can benefit from Christ, it ain't Christ. Come on, Troy. If Christ only benefits white people, it ain't Christ. If Christ only benefits black people, it ain't Christ. If Christ only benefits you because you grew up in church and you know how to da 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 da, then it ain't real. If it's real, then Medes and Persians and folks from Cappadocia, folk who don't look like you, didn't grow up in the country projects with you, they may not know nothing like you. You may be from a totally different generation than them, but you'll have a conversation and there'll be a clicking and an understanding by way of the Spirit, because wisdom is the principal thing. And in all of your getting, you got to get an understanding. Am I preaching to anybody in here this morning? Am I helping anybody besides just me? Am I helping anybody besides just me? I feel you. You feel my pain. I know it's hard, but my question is, yeah, but do you understand? What a service. Awesome. But did you understand? Woo, Pastor was preaching today, honey. It's one of the reasons, I'm not knocking it, but it's one of the reasons why I don't do a whole lot of, I don't do a whole lot of it because it makes it hard. I could do that. I could say, because God wants you to know, everybody, that he has a plan for your life. I don't got no help in here. The reason why I don't is because I almost could say just about anything. And if you churchy enough, you'll holler. Mary had a little lamb. I said, Mary had a little lamb. His valise. His valise. His valise. White as the snow. I'm talking about Mary and the little lamb. And folk are like, preach! What pastor preach about coop? Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know. Something about the lamb. Something about the fleece being white. Something about the white fleece. I don't know, but the fleece got to be white. My question is, do you understand? As a result of the Spirit, do you understand? Do you have more of an understanding? In all thy getting, get understanding. Solomon says, wait. Now, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is a principal thing. No amount of Holy Ghost is going to trump understanding if you don't have it. People are still destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So in all of your getting, get some understanding. Though it costs you everything you have, get some knowledge. Get understanding. And I would contend, I'm going to end up with some folk mad at me over this one right here. But that's all right. My job is not just to make you feel good. But I would contend that our people, folk that look like me, now I know everybody watching ain't black, and everybody in the room ain't black, pretty much. But I would contend that folk like me, that look like me, we don't mind tongues and the Holy Ghost always being about something that we don't understand because we don't understand anyway. We don't understand property. We don't understand how money works. We don't understand how to own our own. We don't understand how to make it. We don't understand how to buy. We don't understand how to do that. So it's really easy for us to just come into a room and holler and scream and shout and yell and leave without any understanding because we don't have understanding anyway. We're so familiar with not understanding that we're comfortable in church and we don't have an understanding. We spend so much of our lives not understanding that we go to church and the preacher can say stuff to us that we don't understand, and that's all right because we don't understand what the president's talking about. We don't really understand what a government shutdown really means. We don't really understand what it means for the taxes to be. We don't really understand what it means to raise the debt ceiling. We don't really understand none of that. And so it's just easy for us to just be like, and we understand it better. Bye, 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 and bye. When the morning come, oh, the saints. My contention is that in all of our getting, can we get an understanding? In all of our getting, can we gain some enlightenment? You really have a relationship with the Spirit. If the Spirit is really in manifestation, you ought to understand something you didn't understand before. As a result of being around folk of the Spirit and people in the Spirit and in a service that is full of the Holy Spirit, it ought to make you leave out of that with a greater understanding. There's a grave mistake that we made about the day of Pentecost. Because there are two significant events that happen on the day of Pentecost, and we have a tendency to only talk about one of them. Because we are so in love with the tongues of fire and the manifestation of power, me too, no shade meant, but because we're so in love with that, that's all we really focus on as a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you that there were two major events that happened on the day of Pentecost, and we only talk about one of them. The first one we know is the upper room. I'm throwing this on the screen. First one we know, the upper room. There's about 120 of them in the upper room. Jesus said, wait for me. Wait for the gift I gave you. They're in the upper room praying, and the Holy Ghost falls on them. That's the beginning of what I read. They were all in the room, and they were all filled. Tongues of fire. They were all filled, and they all began to speak. That is the primary thing we think about and talk about on Pentecost Day. If we have Pentecost Sunday, that's what we talk about the fall, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the rushing mighty wind. Matter of fact, we expect that. We are almost kind of like, ooh, Lord, let the Holy Ghost really fall in this place. And ooh, wouldn't it be something if we heard a wind rushing through? Because we've heard the upper room experience talked about so much that we think that that is the only and primary manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But there was another significant happening on the day of Pentecost. And that is that they came out Folk heard the word in their own language. And somebody asked, what does this mean? My contention is the Holy Ghost don't show up just for you to have a Holy Ghost service. The Holy Ghost shows up for somebody to say, can I get some clarity on that? The Holy Ghost shows up for somebody to say, oh my God, what does that mean? The Holy Ghost shows up so someone will ask a question they never asked before. But because we are only focusing on the upper room, we're not asking what happened when they left it. We are only judging the move of the Holy Ghost by what happened in that upper room. So we don't have an expectation of that question to be a manifestation of the presence of the power of God. I know I'm not talking too deep for some of y'all understand what I want you to get an understanding. That's why I want you to keep nodding at me and waving at me and saying, okay, give me a thumbs up, holler or something at me, because I don't want to leave you. Because the depth of my knowledge sometimes is deeper than what I can explain, and I want to try to break it down to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? What I'm saying to you is that many of us who were taught about the Holy Spirit were taught just about the upper room, and we were taught to have an expectation of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be seen in what happened in the upper room, and we ignore what happened afterwards. Because what happened afterwards is they go down and folk that weren't in the upper room, folk that didn't know Jesus, folk that weren't in the 12, folk that didn't see the miracles, folk that weren't around, folk that didn't really know Jesus like them, had a question, what does that mean? And Peter preaches. So there's a second significant move of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. It's not just the upper room, but it's what I'm calling Peter preaching in the plaza. First is the upper room. There's about 120. When they leave, then as a result of the still flowing of the Holy Spirit, and they say, what does this mean? And Peter preaches a word to them, and at the end of it, they say, what must we do? The word says they were cut to the heart. Holy Ghost was so strong that they were cut to the quick. And they said, what must we do? And I want you to notice that Peter does not tell them to go into the upper room. This is one of the reasons why our churches are so small. Because 3,000 were added to their number in one day, and them 3,000 couldn't fit in that upper room. But many of us were raised and taught that the only way to have anything to do with the Holy Ghost is if you're up in that upper room. And too much upper room Holy Ghost makes churches smaller than 120. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. I wish you'd understood what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying is there are folk in this room, there are folk on this stage. One of the things that I'm always trying to encourage the worship leaders and the folk that are up here, I'm trying to encourage them because they in the upper room. They upper room. Clearly, Tam Hairston is in the upper room. She walked out here in the spirit. It don't take nothing for her to be there. Come on and give God praise. It don't take nothing for her to be there. It don't take nothing for Johnny to be like, it don't take nothing for, it don't take nothing for Josh to be like, oh, and you're still getting here from trying to park out there with all of that craziness. And Josh is already in the upper room. Tyrus, get up here. Pastor Al, get up here, all suave and all. Somebody say hallelujah. And you're just like, why is he so full of the spirit? Because he's upper room. He wake up and just, hey, Jesus. And he brushing his teeth talking to the Lord. What? Aim? Okay. Because his whole life. life is in the upper room. Most of you watching, you do not live in the upper room. You deal with heathens and folk who ain't right. My God, you got a boss you want to kill. Can I get a witness? You got a supervisor. I'm Al's boss. He don't want to kill me. And so they're not dealing with what you deal with. See how he just came and gave me my thing back without me asking? Upper room. He already knew by the Spirit. He knew. He felt it. He felt the whole. The Holy Ghost told him, give him his towel back. That's what he said. I know it is. What I say to the folk that are going to be on stage is, try not to leave everybody that's in the 3,000. The job of the upper room people is not to act like everybody in the 3,000 don't have the Holy Ghost like them. Oh, I wish I had. That's not the job. The job is not to get up here and be like, well, we're upper room. What's wrong with y'all? Well, what's wrong with y'all is you tired. What's wrong with y'all is you hungry. What's wrong with y'all is you want to strangle your baby. And you know what? So do we. Can I get a witness in the building? We just ain't telling you. Tam got kids she wants to strangle. So does Johnny. He's over there nodding. Here, we'll tell you, I'll tell you, oh yeah, I got a teenager too. I got two of them living in my house. They not here. I don't make them come. I don't make them come. And so I've raised them in the way that they should go. And I'm going to tell you what. At some point, just like you. Oh, I need a witness. Just like you in their dark moment, in their darkest hour. Oh, they will come back to him. But I'm not going to make them hate church by making them come and making that. I'm not doing that. Them Negroes is 21. I go back, they still in the bed. I walked in. I said, you went to Bedside Baptist, huh? Rob's like, yeah, how was church? I was like, it was good. He was like, good, Daddy. All right, I'll talk to you later. How's your sermon go? See, I got quiet because folks are like, really? Yeah. Anybody in here got a heathen child? I wish I had one. Come on, be honest. Stop lying. Somebody at home, you got a heathen. Your child is a heathen. Talk to me. Talk to me. Don't make me call you out. You have prayed for them. They are heathen. You have poured oil on them. They're a heathen. You have come to prayer. They are heathen. Pastor Al helped you pray. They are heathen. Tyrus held your hand. And they still heathen. You don't know where your daughter was last night. You don't even want to know. Oh, and you don't have to say amen. We have to be careful, beloved, that those of us who are raised in church, raised around the Holy Ghost, raised above, know the Bible backward and forward, we're upper room folk. We have to be careful that we don't make people in the 3,000 feel like they can't ever come to church because they ain't saved enough to be around you. And they don't know the language enough. And they might slip up and cuss. Oh, I need a witness in the building. Don't act like your ears started bleeding because they slipped up and cussed, because if somebody stepped on your toe, oh, help us, Jesus. You are saying, Mother, Father, help us. You are trying not to cuss your own self. Can we be honest in here for a second? No, but upper room folk want to act like we are always in the upper room, and that ain't true. Upper room folk have kids too. How'd you make that baby if you so in the upper room? You must have had some Luther on that. Come on, come on. You don't get mad because they playing Luther like your baby got here from James Cleveland. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. And the real violation of it, the real violation of it is that we make 3,000 folk feel like they can't be in the upper room. But the manifestation of the Holy Ghost is that the 3,000 and the upper room and the 3,000 in the upper room and the 3,000 in the upper room, because if you two upper room, every now and then you need somebody that don't know all the stuff and don't know all. Sometimes upper room folk, your faith is gone. Oh, I wish I, you done seen so much and you know so much and you been in so many church fights, you don't hardly believe that God is able. And somebody will walk in here who don't know nothing about God, and God will start to put miracles in their life and put you to shame because they don't got the hang-ups you got. Can I get a witness in the building? You need both. You need upper room folk and you need 3,000 folk. Can I tell you what I'm believing God for? I'm believing God for the upper room folk to make 3,000 people be added in one day. That's what I'm believing God for. 3,000 added in one day. I'm believing that in God for God. I'm believing for that in your life. That your small room connection to God will make big outside of that room stuff happen. Oh, my Lord, I'm not just believing God for you in your small room. I believe that God will do something for you in the plaza. I believe that God will do something for you when you leave this small room. I believe right now by faith, and I speak it over the room right now, that as a result of you being a part of this 1,000, that tomorrow in the plaza, something 3,000 will happen in your life. Something that your eyes have not seen, and your ears have not heard, and your mind cannot conceive. The deal you're about to get, the favor that's about to happen, the money that's about to come to you, the job they're about to offer you, the promotion they're about to give you, because you spent time in the upper room and then you had an expectation in the plaza. Can I get a witness? As a result of the Spirit, there was understanding. I have one more thing that I have to say to you before I let you go, because it's my primary assignment and I've got less than 5 minutes and I wanted to read it, but I'm not going to. You'll have to believe me because I don't have time. But there is something that I want you to understand that will impact your life greatly. And baby, you didn't understand it. It was misunderstood. A part of our job, and I'm trying to teach my sons this, a part of our job as communicators of biblical theological thought is to share with you eternal truth and not just the manifestation of that truth culturally. I'm going to throw it on the screens. Our task biblically is to find eternal truth, not just the current cultural expression of that truth. It is a mistake to think that the way they lived the truth in the Bible, that cultural expression of that eternal truth, is the only way to live it. You'll miss the truth. You can lose the truth in the cultural expression and manifestation of that truth. The eternal truth has to live past 2,000 years ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? There's an eternal truth. Yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah, I believe it's true. Yeah, I read the stories. But when I read it, when I pray and I talk to God, I'm like, Lord, show me the eternal truth that's in this so that I don't get so caught up in their cultural manifestation of that truth that I miss the eternal truth. It's one of the things about Christians and believers, somehow we get stuck. We don't get stuck on other stuff. Anybody remember the phone from back in the day? The phone. I think I have a picture. Can y'all throw a picture up? Are y'all ready? Can y'all throw up that picture of the phone? The old phone. I'm talking about the old school phone that was on the wall. Talk to me. Maybe we don't have a picture. The old school phone with the and the long cord that you used to take down in the stairs. Talk to me, old people. So your mama couldn't hear your conversation? That was the phone. The difference between that and this is two completely, totally different things. Still a phone, but this is a different cultural expression and generational expression of the truth of communication that was not. That was a phone, and all of us who used it. We had pay phones. They put Seinfeld on Netflix, and I've been watching Seinfeld. And one of the things that's so interesting about Seinfeld is they're on the phone. They're always picking up phones. And I just thought to myself, wow, I remember when I had a house phone. Don't hardly nobody in here have a house phone. If you got a house phone, folk are like, you got a house phone? You don't have no house phone. There was a period when you had a house phone, then you had a cell phone. And you'd be like, this is my cell number, this is my home number. But then eventually, you just figured, why do I have a house phone when I only talk on my cell phone? If you walk in somebody's house and they got a phone on the wall, you are like, oh, my Lord, you must be my grandmama with this long cord. My point is that this phone is a current generational cultural expression of the phone. I want you to know there are people who don't want to use this. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes. You'll have to forgive me. I have to share this truth with you. Some of us got folk in our family, still got a flip phone. Who am I talking to? I'll just raise my hand. I got an uncle. He flipped me. Because he doesn't want to make the leap. There are folk who, to them, the way that expression of it was, is it. Every now and then somebody 35 will tell me about a show that they think I should watch that's so funny. And I'll watch it, and it's not that funny to me. And I talk to my best friend, and I'm like, do you think? He's like, oh, I tried to watch that show, and it's not that funny. And I said, maybe it is funny. Maybe the problem is that we old. Maybe what we think is funny is not what they think is funny. I wish I had a witness. Maybe what 50-year-old people think is funny is not what 30-year-old people think is funny. And what 30-year-old people think is funny is not what 20-year-old people think is funny. My point is that our job is to give you what is the eternal truth that is locked within the cultural expression of that truth. Okay? I have to say this to you. I'll be in trouble with God. When you see the children of Israel leaving Egypt, are you familiar with that? The Exodus. You can follow it up and read in chapters 11 and 12. But when they are leaving, Moses said to the children of Israel, when y'all are about to leave, when you're going to do that, I want you to go to your neighbors and I want you to ask them for articles of gold and silver and fancy materials, because God is going to make them look favorably towards you, and they're going to give to you. Then the death angel comes. They put the blood on their doorpost. The death angel comes. The firstborn dies, and the children and the Egyptians are so scared and are so determined that the Israelites will be delivered that they make them leave. Pharaoh says, take them, get out of here as fast as you can. And the Egyptians themselves are so scared that they're going to die that they give the children of Israel all kinds of gold and silver and valuable things, so much so that the Bible says that they plundered Egypt. And in chapters 35 and 36, when Moses is taking up an offering to build the tabernacle, the children of Israel give so much that they have to tell them to stop. Where you think slaves got gold from? Slaves got gold because they plundered Egypt. And here's the eternal truth. You ready for it? There is no deliverance without a wealth transfer. Let's speak that over your life right now. There is no deliverance without a wealth transfer. For all of you have been delivered, just know that along with the deliverance, there's a wealth transfer. Along with the deliverance, there's a wealth transfer. There's a transfer of wealth that's supposed to be a part of the manifestation that God moved in your life. I'm going to speak this over my people. If we have been enslaved, if we were enslaved, if we still are a permanent underclass, African Americans, if that's true of us and we were slaves, then we have to believe that at some point God is going to make our Egyptians look favorably on us and give us some kind of a wealth transfer. I speak it over this room right now. Some kind of severance so you can start your own business. Something that will get you started. Something that will put you in a situation in which you stepping into a wilderness to go to your Canaan is not so scary. I speak that right now over the room. I speak it over everyone that's watching around the world. Anybody who can catch it. If it's too deep for you, just say wealth transfer, wealth transfer. I'm just believing God for a wealth transfer, a wealth transfer. God, transfer it. Make the world look favorably towards us. Make folk who don't look like us look favorably towards us. Make people who don't like us look favorably towards us. We are surviving a plague. Anybody pleading the blood of Jesus over your life? Anybody pleading the blood of Jesus? Anybody spreading the blood over your doorpost? Anybody putting the blood over your top of your house? All right, I believe with you, and you're still here. There's a plague that has come on this Egypt. And it's time for the slaves of this Egypt. It's time for the Moses of this moment to say, let my people go. And I say, let my people go. And there is no let my people go without a wealth transfer. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, move. This is what we're looking for, God. We're desperate. We're longing for more of you. We want your glory. Fill us up. But we want more than a clap in church. I wish I had. We want more than a hung a Messiah in church. We want more than a really good church service. We want the sign of our deliverance to be that folk give us stuff that we shouldn't have. Folk give us things and they don't know why. Folk are favorably towards us and we don't understand it. I speak favor over everybody. It's the only way to really be free. It's the only way for you to really be free. One whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, the way for you to really be free is for you to be free financially. Oh my God, have your way. Have your way. If you believe it, raise your hands. Have your way. Standing or sitting, God, have your way. We're believing you, God, for a wealth transfer. In all of our getting, we've gotten an understanding. Lord, we're not knocking the power of the Holy Ghost in church, but we're longing for more. We want your glory. Fill us up. We don't want what belongs to anybody else. We want what belongs to us. Oh God, we don't want nobody else's money. We don't want nobody else's glory. We don't want nobody else's fame. We don't want nobody else's job. We don't want nobody else's success. God, we want whatever you have for us. God, whatever you have for me, whatever you have for these in the room, in their houses, whatever you have for us. We speak it now. You know what has happened to us. You know what we're dealing with as a people. And we're crying out to you for deliverance. But more than just deliverance in a church service, more than just deliverance from a demon, deliver us from the hand of our oppressors. We're not necessarily asking you to make us rich, although that would be great. But God, there are some of us who don't even make enough to get old. Lord, let my people go. God, I'm praying that you set your people free. Release your destiny in them. God, we want it all. You're the God of Jubilee. Set your people free. Release our destiny. We're asking for a manifestation of your spirit. We're asking for a manifestation of your power. We want your glory. Fill us up. God, I'm believing you for millionaires in this room. God, I'm believing you for multiple millionaires in this room. God, I'm believing you for landowners in this room. Lord, I'm believing you for millionaires watching around the world. God, I'm believing for that person that has a dream. God, I'm believing right now that something will happen that will enable them to walk through the wilderness until they get to their promised land. Gifts and surprises. Inheritances. Favor, severance packages that last longer than we thought it would last, that give us the time to work on the business idea we always had. God, I pray that inexplicable things will begin to take place in the lives of your people in the room and around the world. I pray the sales will go through the roof. I pray, Lord God, that the response will be so big we don't know what to do. I pray, Lord God, that so many will come that there'll be it will be a problem for us. God, I'm believing we are in the upper room. We want to see a miracle in the plaza. We want a manifestation of your power. We want a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We believe you now. By faith, we receive it. Before we see it, we receive it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're believing God with me, put your hands together and somebody bless him. Somebody bless the Lord. Come on, clap like you mean it. God, I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. I'm going to get a call this week. God, I believe it's coming. Something's about to happen. God, we're looking for a manifestation of your presence. We want the Holy Ghost to fall on us and deliver us. Can you be seated in the name of the Lord? It's 11:45. Can you give me just 3 or 4 more minutes? Can we give this second offering? Can we give? You know, one of the reasons why I'm trying to get you to make a pledge is because I'm believing that God is going to bless you in such a powerful way that when it's time to build this temple, that you'll give so much that we'll have to tell you to stop. Oh, I'm speaking that right now. So if you made a pledge, if you want, the QR code is on the screens. It's on your screen watching live around the world. If you have yet to make a pledge, you can make a pledge to our building project. Let me tell you what it is, because I recently went and sat down. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you quickly, give an offering envelope. If you could just not leave, give me 5 minutes. I promise I'll let you go. It's only 11:45. There's many of us, church just got started. The 11 o'clock service just got started. We just got through devotions, John. So if you can just give me just a few minutes. The Lord has given us a vision. The Lord has given us a piece of property. It's 25 acres. It's about 26 acres, and it's around the corner. It's on 70. I took one of the top givers out this past week to talk about the pledge that he's going to give. And then when I started to talk to him about, we just great having a great conversation, just chewing the fat. And then when I started to talk to him about the vision, he was kind of like, I don't really, what are you talking about? And so let me tell you again, around the corner on 70, we are about to build a building. The building we're going going to build is not going to be a church. You're watching around the world. You want to give to something that's a powerful move of God. What we're about to build is not going to be a church. What we are about to build is going to be basically like a sportsplex complex type place. When you get there, there's going to be courts on the outside. There's going to be soccer fields out there. And when you walk into the building, there's going to be the lobby, and there's going to be this cafe, and then there's going to be nursery space, and then there's going to be a court. And then at the back of that, in my vision, in the back of it, enclosed in glass, is this sanctuary, and those walls can peel away, and the room will seat about 1,700 or 2,000 or 2,500, whatever we decide. But if we need overflow for New Year's and Easter, and when the whole thing comes back and this plague is gone, then we'll be able to peel those walls back and spill into an overflow. But then throughout the rest of the week, it will be generating income all the time. There'll be practices, and there'll be people from the community that will be using it all the time. Midnight basketball leagues, and there are folk who don't even know anything about World Overcomers that will be on the property and will say, what does this mean? And somebody will say, well, this is actually a church. I think this is a church. When they're getting something from the food truck court, they'll find out this is a church. When they get something from the cafe, they'll be like, what is this? And somebody will say to them, no, that's a church. Actually, this is a church, but they'll be on the property so much. Folk who don't even know God will be benefited by those of us who build something that's bigger than just a church building. Can I get a witness in the building? I said, can I get a witness in the building? And I need you to help me. If I ever needed you to tithe before, I need you to tithe. If you have yet to make a pledge, I need you to make a pledge. If you haven't made a pledge in the room, I need you to get a pledge card. I need you to make a pledge. I'm not asking you to give a lot. This top giver, I told this top giver, if you pledge $50,000, I'll name a court after you. He was like, $50,000? Wow. I was like, pray on it. Not asking you for 50. I'm asking you for whatever God lays on your heart. $1,000 over a two-year period. $5,000 over a two-year period. $10,000 over a two-year period. Each according to your means. But $1,000 over a two-year period is a fish sandwich. It's not a lot of money every week. 52 weeks in a year, it's 104 weeks. $1,000 in 104 weeks isn't even $10 a week. Somebody check me on my math, right? It's not even lunch every day, it's lunch once a week. You can't hardly get a Starbucks coffee for less than $5. Oh, talk to me. Can't hardly get a Starbucks drink for less than $5-6. I'm amazed at what flavored water costs. Don't you dare spend more and have your little stomach. Y'all got your little Starbucks little thing that you scan. Okay, I'll leave it alone. You spend more than that on a lunch during the week. You spend more than that on your nails. I want some of that get your feet done money so your heel will be crusty. That's all right. We're going to build this building. Can I get a witness? Around the world, can I get you to make a pledge to this vision? We have 2 years left on this lease. We have one of the biggest construction companies in the area that's going to build this thing. And we're on our way there. And we're going to build this thing together. And when we walk in there together, I want you to say, we did this. So if you have not made a pledge, beloved, it doesn't take a lot to make a pledge. I know the first original cards we gave, it looked like it was $500. I'm not trying to get you to give $500 a month or $500 a week. I was trying to get people to maybe give $500 over a two-year period. $500 over a two-year period is no money at all. And there were folks who do still have yet to pledge. Beloved, it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. I'm not saying $1,000 may not be a lot of money to you, but if right now you could just give me $1,000 just to shut me up, then you really need to pray about what God wants you to give. If you're like, I'll give you $1,000 right now if I can just go to Biscuitville, well, then you really need to believe God for what he, because you have no idea what God will do. And my prayer and my belief, and I'm speaking it to you right now, I'm not lying to you. My prayer is that God will bless you so much in the plaza that I will have to say to y'all, that's okay. We don't, you know what? We don't even need a bank. Oh God, I'm praying that that will be the case right now, that God will bless you so exponentially that there'll be such a wealth transfer. Oh, I need a witness in the building. There'll be such a wealth transfer that 2 years from now when we're moving in, and I may be able to come and say, hey, listen, we need the speakers we're going to get, but there's maybe a better speaker, and y'all will be like, here, because what God has done for me in the last 2 years, what God has done in my life, oh my God, what the Lord has done, where he's taken me financially, I'm at a whole nother place. I wish I had a witness. I don't want you to give till it hurts. I want you to give what God lays on your heart. I'm not asking you to struggle. I'm asking you to sacrifice. I'm not asking you to give me your mortgage money. I'm asking you to give me your nails money. I'm asking you to have the same iPhone for another year. Oh, well, I take it in and they give me another one. No, they don't. What they do is they just keep charging you monthly. Can I get a witness? They just keep charging you monthly. You always paying for a phone. And I'm believing that this vision and the call of God on your life and what God does for you will make you be so blessed that it's easy to give. Okay, come on, let's pray. God, I pray right now for every person in the room that's making a pledge, for folks who have made a pledge, folks who are paying on the pledge, for every person that's watching live around the world, maybe they've never given a pledge, maybe some of the top givers who just aren't, and just folk who aren't even aware of it, or folks who are in a whole nother part of the world, God, I pray that you'll have them look favorably on the vision that you've given us, and that, God, you will make a way for us. Lord, make a way where there seems to be no way. Give you praise. We ask you to bless both gift and giver in the name of Jesus. Anointing rest on us. We're asking you now, God, for power in the plaza, not just in the pew. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, you just jump on your feet. As you give on your phone, just jump on your feet. If you've already given, you can just jump on your feet. You're watching live around the world. Thank you for making a pledge. Thank you for giving to the work of the kingdom of God. I'm going to be taking a couple of extra minutes every Sunday, I guess, just talking about the vision, because I want to make sure that you know it and have it. I want to pray a dismissal prayer over you really quickly, and I want to give the gatekeepers an opportunity just to collect everything. So just give me another minute. I know I said 5 minutes, and I've gone a little bit over, but that's okay. Anybody hear a word from the Lord today? Anybody get an understanding today? I said, anybody get an understanding today? In all of thy getting, you've got to get an understanding. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for the gathering. Thank you for this group, Lord, that decided to come to worship today. Thank you for everyone that's watching live around the world. Thank you, Lord God, for this moment. Thank you for where we're heading. Thank you for what's about to happen in us. Thank you, Lord God, that at the end of this month, children's ministry is coming back. Last Sunday in October, children's ministry coming back. Thank you, Lord God, for the grand reopening of children's ministry. So folk who are watching around the world, God, folk who are watching in our area who can't come will be able to come back. And God, we're believing you right now for a miracle in us. Have your way in us. God, we have prayed and we have prayed and we have prayed. And now, God, we are looking for a manifestation of your presence in spite of us. In spite of what we lack, God, move. May your grace and your favor, don't be far from us. Have your way in us. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood and bring us back again, Lord, Wednesday night as we tune in. Next Sunday, God, as we talk more about the power that is available to us, word in the plaza, we'll give you praise. What you say and do. It's harvest time, and we're believing for a great harvest. In Jesus' name, God bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to them and give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. See you next Sunday.